Podcast meeting brilliant minds and looking at the world around them. How do they 360 themselves and 360 the world? Jamie Neal, the host, asks many questions about their mindset and how they fundamentally operate their world and the world around them. Supported by General Assembly, and that's right, you can get a 25% discount for their services. Promo code is 360yourself25. The code will be valid up to £75 off any one of their classes, workshops and boot camps, and is valid until the 31st 08 2021, and is not applicable to GA's full-time, part-time or online circuit courses. Full T's and C's apply. Here at 360 Yourself, we are very proud and honoured to be partnered with General Assembly. We embrace this with open arms to a new adventure. General Assembly is a global tech education company focused on the most in-demand areas today. So that's anything from UX, digital marketing, coding, data science, data analytics, to travel writing and ethics. Our/their main goal is to get you where you want to be. You can find out more about them at ga.co online or across all socials at ga_London. We also encourage you to please rate and comment about us on Apple Podcasts. If you do enjoy what we bring to your ears, we'd love to hear about it. Hello, welcome back to 360 Yourself. I hope you're having a good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are in the world, welcome back to 360 Yourself. You have me, the host, Jamie Neal. One thing, or many things, that I love to talk about at the moment, or in just in life, is balance. I honestly talk to many people about balance, about how do you have, how do you be ambitious, do your work, do all that sort of stuff, but also have balance about having self-care, but also balance with your friends and family, because family is the most important thing ever. Even though I am really ambitious, and have many friends in my space who are also really ambitious, we talk about this quite a lot, about balance and having family and children, and also having a really healthy work life. It's really important. And so one of these things that we were talking about with our two guests coming up is balance in the industry. How do you find balance, especially as a woman as well? They're two brilliant powerhouse women. We were talking about the balance of children, balance of partners, balance of work, balance also of your own self-care. It's really important to find those things. And I think it's like a little kind of measuring stick. Like one moment you're going to be a bit more heavy on the side of work, and then other things are going to just creep up, and then suddenly you want to balance again, so you then go, okay, maybe a bit more personal, and suddenly your work is suffering. So it is just a massive balancing act. So it's really important to just be more self-aware of choices. I think that's what we're talking about recently, is choices and being conscious of the choices that you make, whether you put a bit more effort and a bit more work into your work life, and then a bit more personal and a bit of your own stuff. Like, it's really important to find those balances. So we have coming up two brilliant guests, two powerhouse women called Vanessa and Jane, who are at Facebook. One of them is a creative strategist, and the other is a client partner, talking to me about working in a tech environment, working as a creative, and talking about balance, basically. Balance in your work life, balance in your personal life, and also how have things changed in lockdown as well. That's really important to look at, about balance within lockdown. So I know you're going to really enjoy them, because they are a really hoot, and they are brilliant and clever women, powerhouse women. So I want to introduce you to Jane and Vanessa.
Hello, how are you doing, Jane and Vanessa?
Good. I'm good. Wonderful.
Yeah? So whereabouts are you in the world at the moment? Because I always ask my guests this, because at the moment, obviously, we have COVID and everyone's everywhere. And some people have like fled the city. Some people have like gone to like Lanzarote. Some people have gone to some loads of different places. Whereabouts are you at the moment?
I'll let you go first, Vanessa.
Okay. I'm in Brixton, so Southwest London. And yeah, I've not been anywhere actually, maybe apart from up to Liverpool, which is where I'm from, for a weekend when we were not in lockdown. And I think the Kent coast I managed to go to at one point. But apart from that, Brixton the whole time.
There you go. So I am in a village called Brampton, which is in Cambridgeshire, which is about 60 miles north of London. It's exactly 56 miles to our office. I know that it's not useful information.
It definitely is.
But yeah, I never knew that, Vanessa, that I think the only place I've gone throughout when there was an ease in lockdown, the only place I've gone to is to Whitstable. So we've both gone to the Kent coast.
Same. Yeah. I actually bumped into a lot of Facebook people in Whitstable while I was there.
It's a cool place to be.
Yeah. I mean, if you go anywhere in the nature, whether it is like Kent or like Devon or Cotswolds, there's always a great little adventure. And people like fly off to different countries in Europe. But actually, the whole staycation is such an amazing thing because we have such beautiful locations in the UK that people forget about.
Yeah, and yeah. I think I've been given the remit by my 5-year-old son that anywhere we go, we have to be able to do crabbing now.
Oh so, my God, yes.
Just crabbing.
Crabbing. Oh, I'm from Devon, so crabbing is a normal thing for me.
There's something nice as well about getting the train. I think it's like less stressful. So I've got a 5-year-old as well. And we're about to get Puppy actually in a couple of weeks. So Yeah, you kind of have to take into consideration like the logistics, don't you? And getting a train is far easier and less stressful. Like you can be somewhere beautiful in like 90 minutes from London.
Mm. What kind of puppy are you going to get?
A Cavapoo, a little Cavapoo called Luna. Yeah, so I needed a hobby and I think she'll keep us busy as a family and obviously get us out of the house a lot more as well. We're fortunate to live by a really beautiful park in Brixton called Brockwell Park.
Yeah.
So, we've gone there like every day since I can remember. But yeah, getting out there a little bit more and there's currently swans there with little baby cygnets. It's a bit more crowded than what it should be because of the cygnets at the moment.
Well, it's such a lovely places that you both live in, that because obviously a lot of people, I don't want to talk too much about the kind of COVID situation, but like a lot of people, I migrated down to Devon, and so I had a lot of nature and that sort of thing, and so I would go on my walks and it didn't really feel like I was in lockdown because I would go to the beach, I'd go these sort of places which are like literally like 5-10 minutes from my house. But it seems that also you guys as well, you went in the city, so it was easier to go to nature and that sort of thing rather than be in the city like some people were.
Yeah, I mean, I've become slightly obsessed with country parks. There's a lot of country parks when you go a bit further out of London. They're everywhere, and there's just being able to walk around a big vast body of water is very useful. I'd obviously at some points just trying to stop my 5-year-old from running in there, but but yeah, it's quite therapeutic.
So of course I'm fascinated about your guys' journey. That's what I want to know. So I'm really, really grateful that you come on. So how did it all start? Tell me from the beginning that you are now, and then getting into kind of Facebook, I mean, one of the biggest companies in the world. Yeah, so tell me from the beginning.
Yeah, I'm happy to jump
in. Either of you, either, yeah.
So I did a degree in like music industry management at the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts. It was a great degree, and actually worked with quite a lot of people who did my degree or went to my university even like 20 years after graduating. The most exciting thing about the degree outside of the course content is that you get given your degree certificate on stage at the Liverpool Philharmonic, that I'm now on the board of, by Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
On stage. So that was quite a moment and an amazing thing when you graduate. But I came to London thinking I could manage bands, and that never really happened. And I went to work for MSC Saatchi for a little bit as an intern, and it was unpaid, and I just couldn't afford to kind of like continue to do that with a master's student loan. So I took an advertising job at EMAP at the time, which is now Bauer Media, and worked on music press, so Q, Mojo, Kerrang, magazine, Mix Mag, The Face, for like 5 or 6 years, and always looked after record labels. So was always working with the music industry, and I've continued to like serve the music industry, I think, over the past 2 decades in my career, but not work directly in it as such, but work with the music industry. And then I went to Google, which is kind of, I remember, frowned upon by the people at EMAP at the time. They were like, why are you going to Google? Like, they just didn't understand it. And what a great decision that was. And I actually applied because I just needed to change at the time. So I applied to Google, the Football Association, and MI5 all at the same time.
MI5?
Are you going to be a spy?
How do you apply for MI5?
You just go on the website and you just apply. All three, by the way, were on a whim. And it was just kind of like, and the Football Association wrote back on a really nice, you know, headed letter, like just saying, look, we really love the passion that you have for trying to say that all of the music experience that you have is transferable to football, but in a nutshell, it isn't. And no. And then MI5 wrote back and said, you can't drive. So I think there was probably other reasons why I couldn't get in.
Right.
I think not having a drive. And anyway, Google were like, come in. And I didn't have like digital experience at that point, but I did have like massive like network already of contacts. Mm-hmm. And they were just like setting up the entertainment team at the time. And they gave me the role, I think, because of the networks and the contacts that I had. And worked with a colleague called Darren, who I still work with today at Facebook, who referred me to Facebook 5 years later. But I think that proves like two things. Like, one, just apply, even though you don't always have the experience for everything. And two, it's just like good to go on a bit of an adventure sometimes. And, you know, you've got to just kind of have a go.
I can't believe that you applied to be a spy, Vanessa. My story is going to seem so boring now. I never applied to be a spy.
I thought they have to like approach you to join MI5 though. I didn't think they choose you. You don't choose them.
Well, I mean, they set up an Instagram account the other day. Actually, I don't know whether you've seen that.
But, you're following them.
Yeah, I'm following them. Yeah,
that's so funny.
Yeah, I'm following them. They're not following me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but they did actually set up their Instagram account. So yeah, we should go and check it out. Yeah.
I'm going to follow them immediately as soon as we finish recording.
Yeah, we're all going to so follow funny. Them.
So yeah, everyone, Jane, that listens to the podcast. Sorry, yes, I should tell you something serious. Yeah.
No, it doesn't mean it could be funny. It could be anything. I mean, you might
most
be
things I say aren't
CIA.
That serious. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I always wanted to be a spy, but no, alas, that was never to be either. No, my journey, I think, feels slightly more traditional than Vanessa's. I'm from an advertising background. So I studied graphic design at Cumbria Institute of the Arts in Carlisle, which at the time was the furthest away, not for any reason to do with them. It was the furthest away I could get from my parents while still being in England. So I went up to Carlisle and studied graphic design. Which it was a really amazing course in that it was very advertising and idea based rather than just sort of pure design. And I think that probably stood me in good stead for where I've gone in my career. Because I came straight down to London because I kind of knew that at the time that's definitely where all the opportunities were, and there was definitely not any scope for remote working like there is now. But yes, I got a junior designer role in a relatively small sort of print agency. It was a B2B agency as well, so it wasn't the kind of fun advertising that you dream of when you're young. But it was really good. And what was strange was the pace at which that agency worked. While it was really, really like a baptism of fire, it meant that every job I've had since, I'm like, oh, actually, this isn't as hectic as that first job.
What, even at Facebook? Wow.
I mean, maybe not at Facebook because that's definitely fast paced, but it stood me in good stead for that. So that was useful. But yeah, then I moved to a digital agency because I just got excited about the fact that things could move rather than just being permanent on a piece of paper. Although I do still love a paper sample, especially like a nice velvet one. I have a slight obsession with paper. But yeah, so I moved to a digital agency where I was then very fortunate that my ECD at the time, a new ECD came in and he kind of did interviews with all of the staff that were existing. And he spoke to me. He said, oh, I've been watching you sort of designing. And then I've been watching you in brainstorms when we've been thinking about ideas. And I've noticed that you really flourish in the brainstorms, but you seem to get quite stressed out when you're designing things. So we'll maybe move you into art direction because then you can enjoy yourself and you're probably being even more useful to us. So then I moved into art direction. And then I stayed there for a really long time because it was a really great environment to work in. So that was, I was at Digitas for 4 or 5 years. And then went off into the freelance world for a bit, sort of as a senior art director, moved into creative direction, and then ended up, I've worked across loads of different sectors as well. It's never been sort of specifically music for me, which is where I think where Vanessa and I work together, her knowledge is really what helps me to understand exactly the value I can bring, because she knows exactly the insight we need at exactly the right time. But yeah, then I came to Facebook to join Creative Shop, which is a band of merry creatives or strategists. And really, there's such a great mix of people in that team because it's just about problem solving and understanding how to use our platforms to the best of their potential.
What kind of resonated with me what you just said there is about the idea that it's just about solving problems. And I'm assuming that like these big tech companies, like your kind of Googles and your Apples and whatever that sort of thing, are just recruiting people just to solve problems. They're just problem solvers. And I'm assuming they just employ people from lots of different avenues and places to bring really cool people together just to solve problems. I'm assuming that's what it is.
I think that's where we show up best for our clients as well. So Jane and I partner across a lot of different clients within the entertainment space. And those clients are like, you know, releasing movies or music or having big campaigns at any point in the year, depending on seasonality. And usually like they'll write a brief, as you know, within marketing, and like take that to different partners like ourselves or other partners. But really, we show up the best as a partner when we're early to, I mean, it's good, like within entertainment, we kind of know what the schedule is, so we can be proactive and know what's coming out. But I think when you've got a problem to solve, like that's where Facebook and our company and our teams kind of really show up well and can really get our teeth into a challenge rather than kind of respond to, say, a standard brief.
And obviously, it's very clear that you're both women. What is it like working in the tech and music industry as a woman? Because I was having a conversation yesterday with someone who works at HBO, and we were talking about that as well. Like, what is it like as a woman working in the entertainment industry? So what is it like working for you guys?
Well, I was just going to say really quickly, like I was talking about this recently with a friend, but it's changed a lot and for the better. Obviously, like as things have progressed, like I remember being at EMAP and there was a manager at the time who told me and the other women on the team that we couldn't wear jeans, yet he wore jeans and we could only wear like skirts. And like, I just think that even back then, I remember just being outraged, as you would be.
What was his cause though? Because me and Jay were talking about this earlier, when people just make a decision not based on anything, and then exactly. I get really frustrated. I'm like, but why though? You haven't given me a valid reason for it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 100%. Like, I just remember leaving university like full of passion and excitement, and then kind of getting to that role. And it was a great company with great brands and great people, but you know, I think what I experienced was misogyny at different times, and you know, just it was just like I'd gone backwards in many ways, like from leaving university, and it kind of quite dampened my enthusiasm a little. But I remember also like just being outside the pub and not really being part of the conversation. I didn't really know anything about football and wasn't interested, and you know, and I just like, I guess that I just observed like that time in my life, and then I thought, well, you know, it's like old boys clubs ultimately. And actually when I joined Facebook, I started like this Facebook group, which is a women's network. It's got 1,500 women in it now, called Women in Entertainment and Digital, and it's the WED network. And it's basically like a response to old boys clubs. Like if you can't join the conversation, you start your own. And it's grown organically and just become such a brilliant network of brilliant people. And yeah, I think it's just really interesting to have thought, like reflect on the past 20 years and seeing how things that were acceptable absolutely are not now. And
yeah. it's so distressing as well to look back, and like even you sort of saying that, I'm like, oh yeah, God, I remember like my first creative director, who oddly was a woman. Like I remember once her telling me that I needed to dress more like a woman, because ironically the conversations, I did know a lot about football, had no impact on whether I was in the conversations. I played five-a-side every week for my work team, and yet when there was a inter-office match in Amsterdam, because there was an office there, I played every week. I was definitely the most regular player, and yet I was not invited on that trip. So it was nothing to do with being on the football team. It was 100% like a lad's weekend in Amsterdam, and that was just a valid excuse for them, which is completely invalid. But yeah, it's very strange to look back and think that people got away with that, because to your point, Vanessa, like I'm so glad that it has changed. I mean, there's obviously a lot further to go, but I genuinely feel honoured that at Facebook I don't really feel any different to my male colleagues. I feel like I know that there's been improvements there. Like Vanessa's been at Facebook, I think, twice as long as I have. So everywhere is improving and everyone's sort of learning at the same time. But it's a very strange industry where if the things that happen that are important for people's careers happen at the pub, if you're not going to the pub because you don't drink, or because like I've got a colleague who was talking about the fact that sort of in traditional Jewish families, you have Friday night dinners with your family. And if everyone's going to the pub on a Friday night and you're not going because you're having dinner with your family, you're missing out on things. Or if you've got kids, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I never go to the pub now.
I think it's a lot in the entertainment industry. If you're not at the party, because I remember when I was younger, I knew that I had to go to the parties to make those connections and to have been in those conversations, because you feel like that's where a lot of the deals happen, because it's that social. It doesn't really sometimes happen in the professional setting.
And you know, that's true. I think actually technology empowers as well. So like, look at the past year alone, you know, or even, you know, in a time of COVID, like you can use WhatsApp, or you can, you know, I've got my whole road, like I leafleted them all at the beginning of like the year of COVID, and we're all like in a WhatsApp group. And it's just like been a silver lining in an awful year for so many people, of like just having that community. But like technology empowers as well. So, you know, I think you don't have to be there in person now. And I think hopefully we'll continue to kind of fly both planes as we come out of COVID, is to still have like the physical events and being there in person. But say like you're in the Northwest where I'm from, like, and you know, like in my situation, like I didn't have any funding from university, from a family. In fact, I had no financial support whatsoever. Like I had to fund it all myself with like part-time jobs. So, you know, I think the fact that you can now connect to conferences online, and you know, you don't have to get the train to London and all of the expense that might, you know, happen, or somewhere to stay. I think like technology is empowering and kind of create, you know, helping accessibility, thinking about, you know, the broader landscape as well.
Yeah, it's also interesting to have that. How do you have that balance though, between we're now sort of like our behaviors like on a Friday night, some people just don't want to go out because they just want to stay at home and watch Netflix, versus people want, some people want to go out and have a lovely time and be in person. So there's this sort of like balance between, yes, you, we can still do our lives now by the power of like technology, but also Helen, how do we have that balance of also going out and having that live thing? Like, well, obviously one is not better than the other, but it's that sort of balance now.
And it's having the option.
Yeah. And I do think like the Women in Entertainment and Digital Facebook group, I was a member of that group before I'd worked with Vanessa, like before I knew that she set it up. And it's really interesting how useful that is, because I think one of the things that I've noticed about the music industry specifically, and all of the women that I now know that work within the music industry, is it feels like it's far more compassionate, in the sense that you'll have a colleague that works in another organization, and they'll tell you about something that they think is of interest to you, or they'll tell you about something that they think is going to help you progress your career. And so I almost think it's like, well, if I've got someone who's gone to a party, they know I'm not at the party, but they meet someone who they think, oh, you'd really like talking to Jane, she could really help you, or Vanessa and Jane would be really amazing if you spoke to them about this problem sort of early on, they'll actually just get in touch. And because we've got that network now, it means that they can just sort of ping you on Messenger and say, oh, I met this person, and you should, like, I'll introduce you. And it's really, sure, really, like, amazing how different that is to the sort of the beginning of my career.
There's so much reward from being a connector and bringing people together and watching relationships flourish in that sense. Like, I definitely get like a lot of energy from seeing like different creative minds come together, and I love that. I love you know, introducing people and seeing what happens.
For sure. I mean, I started a think tank a couple of weeks ago with a bunch of about 20 people that I knew in various different spaces, because I was like, I just want to know how to challenge like creative ideas. How do you talk, because it's called Across the Table. And it's basically have that conversation of, right, how do we discuss like different voices, different diversities, different ideas, how different people from different industries, how does that all happen? Because sometimes you're so in your own bubble of your set, the same contacts, how do you reach out and see different possibilities of collaboration? I think that's really important. But obviously with technologies, we're able to do that, because now we can see what's happening in South Africa or whatever, or Zimbabwe or Dubai. We can see what's happening over there now via like Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah. I did a panel for Music Week recently, and there was an amazing guy who runs a record label up in Newcastle, and he does quite a lot of songwriting courses. And he said, you know, songwriters who are, I guess, more introverted as well, have like really flourished, like coming together online and meeting people from different countries and attending like the songwriting sessions. It's interesting, isn't it? Because even in the past year, I think I've realized I'm way more introverted than what I thought I was. you know, I think you put yourself out there quite a lot in real life, and I'm definitely confident, but is it called ambivert, where you're somewhere in the middle? Like, I think I kind of like the quiet time, or the option, as we said, like, you know, the option that technology gives you to sometimes not have to show up in person and to be able to dial in. And I think those options are important, and maybe people have got to know themselves and their preferences and their productivity levels and the best times that they operate and everything in the past year, as we've kind of taken a bit more time.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting how like a Zoom call or a video conference, it's you can turn off your camera if you need to and that's really like really helpful, because if you're not feeling like the vibe to be that extroverted, like I'm an extroverted introvert.
Me too.
What is it, an EN? I think I'm an ENFP or whatever. I don't know what they stand for. I can't remember. But it's that thing of, I really thrive on, like, I really miss being on stage and presenting work and sort of being in rooms with lots of people and bouncing ideas off, because it's not the same on a video conference. But I really cherish being able to then sort of go back into my shell and think about all of the things that have been said. So yeah, it's I think the fact that we've all learned how to use technology to do that, and everyone's sort of becoming more used to it, I think is really helpful, because it gives us more options for the future. I mean, I was saying to Vanessa the other day, like, I think I was on maternity leave for the beginning of lockdown. So like everyone got sent home from our Facebook offices 2 weeks after I'd gone on maternity leave. And so then when I returned in January, I was like, oh, it's all right. I've spoken to lots of people. I know what's going to happen and I know what the deal is. But it was really, really valuable to have the insights after I came back and was like, oh, no, wait a minute. This is really hard. Why is this so difficult? And then understanding that, like, taking time for yourself is really useful. And the more I do that now, the more I realize it's helping me to have better ideas and sort of turn up better for clients. Because if they give, it used to be that they would talk to me about a problem they've got, or they would sort of share an objective, and I'd immediately sort of be spinning off these ideas. But actually, like, giving stuff a chance to germinate in my brain for a bit longer is really helpful.
Yeah, it's really important though, isn't it? Like, just to let sit there for a bit, because I think sometimes we're always rushing, and then spit out an idea, but then if you had like an extra 10 minutes or a day to think about it, you could then flesh it out a bit more. But one of the questions I also wanted to kind of know is, like, we talked about kind of like being a woman in the kind of music and the tech industry. What are sort of like the daily kind of pressures, and also having, because you're saying about children as well, like, what is the kind of like pressures of in your work life, but also family life, and having that balance?
Sorry, Jane, you go ahead.
Oh, okay. One of the hardest things for me is I obviously cherish time with my family, but the lack of a commute anymore is for me a pure lack of decompression time. So, or a lack of like just time for myself. My commute consists of opening, I'm very fortunate that I have an office in our house, but my commute consists of opening the office door, stepping through it and shutting the office door. And so unless I've been able to sit at my desk and just try and breathe for 2 minutes before I leave the room, I it's utter chaos, because I step outside the door and it's dinner time and it's utter chaos. But then that being said, the door isn't a barrier, because when my son comes home from school, he just opens the door and comes in anyway, and it doesn't matter. Like, he doesn't know the difference if I'm on a call with people. He doesn't know the difference if I'm on the call with colleagues or if I'm on the call with clients. It's like, how would he know that? But that's definitely my biggest barrier. But it's mainly time, I think. It's having time to yourself is obviously impossible, and I think that's true across every sector, for every gender. It's probably not a female thing, but I think I probably take the brunt of it, because my husband is fortunate enough that he leaves the house to go to work because he has to.
I think the same. I think it's the decompression. Like, I guess the tube is like the only me time that I would have got sometimes, to just like sit and have a think and kind of enjoy like the bustle of walking around to different meetings and having that time between meetings to reflect and process some of what had happened in the meeting, and then to kind of prepare for the next one, because it tends to be back to back to back now. I definitely find it easier since my daughter's gone back to school, because I think that was insane when she was here, because either she was here and saying, "Mummy, this call's really boring and everyone can hear it," or trying to do my hair on the call, or she was really quiet, and that equally was just as worrying, because I didn't know what she was doing. So I think my mind not being in two different places, because I think being present is definitely for me like more important than ever, and I definitely have had to manage like how I feel like day to day and not feel too burnt out. And I think if I'm present and if I can really focus, I can make sure that I don't feel too burnt out. But I've definitely used more things like essential oils before calls. I think like the smell of something like really grounds me, And even like sitting on my hands when I have a call, because no one can see it, but even the weight of your body kind of grounds you on the call, you know, if it's back to back to back, like that's a really good tip. Or even like just breathing exercises, meditation. I've started working out for the first time ever this year, even though I'm 42, so it's taken me quite a long time to really invest in exercise. Oh,
I promote exercise to everyone. I'm a gym junkie. I love to exercise.
I
mean,
I hate it. I have to say, I hate it before. I hate it while I'm doing it. But once I've done it, oh, I feel amazing. And I
for sure.
And it's addictive, I guess, because obviously you can see the changes in your body and you feel, you know, mentally good, physically good. So I think like Jane, it is just having to be really like disciplined about taking time for yourself, because you can't really give unless you're feeling good.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm so glad that I can play football again. I've joined the local women's team in the summer last year when it opened up again. And then when there was the lockdown in the middle, I was devastated because I just got back into it and I was really enjoying it. And I'd scored a goal in my first game. I haven't scored a goal since, which is distressing. but it's so like it's so nice to be able to go and speak to other adults and just run around and do, like, be free, and exercising is like awesome.
For sure. And so just to kind of like finalize some of the things that we like to ask our guests here, is if you could give back to our listeners or to your younger self, anything that's inspired you, might be a book, painting, a mantra that you might do every morning, what would you give back?
I would share a piece of advice that I was given by a colleague, actually, in that I've also shared it with a mentee that I have. When you look at somebody else's career and they've, like, say if I look at Vanessa's career and she's been in the industry for 20 years, it makes completely logical sense, like every step that she's taken. But that's always in hindsight. Whereas when you're starting out, knowing what your next step is always really daunting, and it's really hard. And knowing where you want to end up, because no one really knows where they want to end up, because things change sort of when you're on your journey. And so I think being open to adventure and obviously being hardworking is ridiculously important, especially in this industry. But knowing that if you follow your passion, you're always going to end up hopefully doing something that you love. Yeah. It's like the same as like when you choose your GCSE subjects at school. It's like if you choose subjects that you enjoy, they'll lead to something else. Like your next step is, you'll be doing something you enjoy. So I think not looking at other people's careers and thinking that they had it all figured out at the beginning, because nobody did. It's just true. That it happened in that way.
And Vanessa, finally?
I was going to say, like, I've really, over the past few years, like, loved anything to do with reading, like, Stoic texts. So it's like ancient wisdom of, like, Stoics. Mm-hmm. And there's a guy called Ryan Holiday who writes all about like kind of Stoic wisdom, and like everything that happens in my life I can think now because I've studied it so much, of like a Stoic phrase to kind of match the situation or to help overcome or work through the situation. And all of his books are great, but one of his books is called The Obstacle is the Way, and it's kind of, you know, it is just brilliant. Like if you ever go through like, you know, a kind of tumultuous time in life, that is such a good book to read. And then he's got another book about stillness and the importance of being still and taking quiet time, which is also amazing and reminds me of a book by David Lynch called Catching the Big Fish. Mm-hmm. Of like the more you give your mind like time to kind of think and create space, David Lynch calls it, like, that's when the big fish, like the big ideas come.
For sure.
So constantly like thinking and there's no space there, then
yeah,
it's different. So yeah, Ryan Holiday's also got an email called The Daily Stoic, and I get the email every day and it's just superb, like ancient wisdom for modern times. It's amazing.
Brilliant. Well, again, I want to say thank you very much for coming on 360 Yourself. It's been an absolute pleasure. I loved it, absolutely loved it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This is 360 Yourself, and I'm Jamie Neal. Thank you very much for taking a moment to listen to our wonderful guests. Please subscribe to our podcast to access all our brilliant guest episodes. They are released every Sunday at 12 p.m. We are available on all listening platforms: Spotify, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Castro. You can also find us on Instagram at 360_yourself, Twitter at yourself360, and our host at Jamie Neal JN. Thank you for listening.